morning and welcome to our Good Friday service as we meet to remember the death of Jesus. Our first hymn is number 280, O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather today to hear again the story of Jesus' last hours, open our ears, hearts, and minds. May we be filled with wonder and gratitude for all that you have done for us, for your love and commitment to us, and to all people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so Simon is going to read for us now John's accounts.
Verse
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but instead write, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified him, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you, Simon. A couple of verses of a hymn that you might be familiar with. "Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love." Let's sing again together the first two verses of "I Cannot Tell Why He Whom Angels Worship Should Set His Love Upon Us, Now or Then."
I cannot tell why he who raised
In the Gospels, we find many occasions when the writers give us a phrase such as, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. We probably turn on Good Friday to Isaiah 53 more than many other scriptures. But today we're going to look at parts of Psalm 22. And we're going to have, in turn, the first one, please, a comparison, really, between some of those verses of Psalm 22 with different gospel narratives. And you may not be able to read some of the gospel narratives because some of them have had to be quite small. But I wonder if we might together read the psalm verses and then I will make reference to the gospels. So let's begin with some of the words that we probably are most familiar with from Psalm 22 in the context of Good Friday. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. And so we find those words from Mark. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3, Jesus did say in that loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? If we think about our own lives, there may have been times when we have cried out those words too, when it has felt as though God is silent and we have no answer to our needs. Jesus identifies with that. One of the other hymns that I'm going to pay reference to is this one, of which I read the first verse. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. The Father wasn't forgetting his Son, but in that moment he couldn't bear the sight of Jesus bearing our sins on the cross. Forsaken. The pain that Jesus bore for us is something that we don't like to think about, but on today of all days, let us just grasp that huge love and commitment that held Jesus on the cross. We turn to the next few verses. Now from verses 6 to 8, let us read. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. The Zhelinu translation entitles Psalm 22 as "The Suffering Servant Wins the Deliverance of the Nations." The suffering servant, again, that we associate with Isaiah. And yet we see this suffering in the prophecy that David gives us. We don't often think of David as a prophet, but he's also referred to one after Pentecost when he is preaching in Acts chapter 2. Peter makes reference to another psalm, not this one. And Luke, as he writes the book, says, being therefore a prophet, he foresaw and spoke of the Christ. Amazing that so many verses can be seen as a prophecy of what was to come. And here, the mocking we find in all of the Gospels. From Mark, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify. Or again, further on in Mark's account, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." And in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. So we have the soldiers, those who passed by, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and even those who were crucified with him, mocking hurling insults, shaking their heads. What suffering, what love that held him there. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. And then one of the verses that we have heard already from John, but in Psalm 22 verse 15 we read, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. And John, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And the next quotation from the psalm. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. And we've already heard those other words printed there. Another prophecy, another fulfillment of it, the casting of lots. And then for me, one of the most significant, as we turn to verses 30, 31. He has done it, it is finished, it is accomplished. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. A jar of white vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Sometimes translated, it is accomplished. Jesus, present at the beginning of the world, the Word made flesh. Jesus, born as one of us. Jesus, called and prepared to go through with all that his Father asked of him. And at this point, he knew that it was finished. He had accomplished all that had to be done. And so he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And the task, the job, the purpose of his coming, so that we who have fallen short of the glory of God, might be forgiven, might receive forgiveness, might receive salvation, might be given new life through his death. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Let us pray. And so, loving God, we again praise you and thank you for all that you have done for us on this day. Jesus identifying with us in the darkness that is sometimes our lives. Jesus bearing our sin on the cross, and bringing us new life and new light. Thank you that he came to save rather than condemn, to show mercy rather than to judge. And we ask your forgiveness that despite all you have done, we so often walk in darkness. So we pray that we will be forgiven afresh and that you will continue to lighten our darkness. Teach us to walk in your light and to follow where you lead, knowing that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. But in a few moments of silence now, we think of others and pray for others who are living in darkness, who are feeling that they are forsaken and cannot find the light at the end of the tunnel. We pray too for those who are nearing death and ask for your light for them. For those who are recently bereaved, we also commit them to you, that they will know your light and your peace and comfort. And so we pray that you will continue to bless us this day, whatever else we are doing. Help us to keep in mind all that you have gone through for us and your love that never fails. For it is in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord, that we pray. Amen. If you were hoping to sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," we are singing it in the marketplace. So if you're able, do come along for the service that begins there at 11 o'clock. And if you need a little bit more time of peace and quiet as you continue to reflect, then the church will remain open. But for now, we sing "Man of Sorrows." What a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a saviour. There will be no blessing after this hymn, so please just sit or leave as you wish. Sinners.